Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Once again, welcome to Stoma for Life. Today, we'll be focusing on an incredibly important topic, fitness and staying active, particularly when life presents challenges like ostomy surgery. Fitness is something I've always taken for granted. I didn't give it much thought. It was just part of my routine. Whether it was going for a run, hitting the gym perhaps, or doing some yoga or Pilates exercises, or simply staying active during daily tasks, I never really had to question it. Staying fit seemed almost effortless. I didn't focus on it too much because, like many people, I assumed my body would always be able to keep up. After all, good health and mobility were just there. But when you're faced with a life-altering event like ostomy surgery, everything shifts. Suddenly, fitness isn't just about keeping in shape or feeling good. It's about much more than that. It's about survival, recovery, and regaining your sense of independence. It's about learning to move again, about rebuilding strength and confidence in your body after major surgery. And most importantly, it's about ensuring your overall well-being, physically and mentally. For anyone who hasn't experienced a major physical change like this, it's hard to truly grasp how much fitness impacts your recovery and quality of life. We often think of fitness in terms of looks or performance, how much we can lift or how fast we can run. But for someone who has had stoma surgery, fitness means regaining control over your own body again. It means the ability to engage in basic everyday movements without pain or restrictions. And for many, it means returning to the activity they love most. I must admit, I was on an absolute high when I could actually by myself walk up the stairs after stoma surgery. Just tackling stairs was a major, major challenge. And there's the thing. This isn't just for those who have an ostomy surgery. For everyone, as we age, staying active becomes even more important. I do have to admit, I used to brush off the warnings about how crucial exercise is as we grow older. But I've learned the hard way that it's true. As we age, our muscles weaken, flexibility diminishes, and our bodies simply don't bounce back the way they once did. So the time to focus on fitness is now, regardless of your age or physical ability. It's about laying the foundation for a healthier and more active future. For those living with a stoma, the importance of fitness becomes even more profound. It's no longer about staying in shape. It's about thriving. Trust me. Fitness plays a vital role in not just recovery journey, but also in preventing complications like hernias, improving digestive functions, and enhancing mental well-being. Yet, despite its importance, the guidance around safe exercise after ostomy surgery can be murky at best. Many people feel lost, unsure of what they can actually do or can't do. Well, I certainly did. That's where today's guest, Sarah Russell, comes in. Sarah is a clinical exercise physiologist, Pilates teacher, and a leading expert in fitness and rehabilitation for ostomates. Combining over 30 years of professional experience with her personal journey of living with a stoma, she brings a unique perspective and practical evidence-based advice to help others rebuild their strength, confidence, and quality of life. We'll be exploring everything from safe exercise practice to managing strength and tackling common challenges like peristomal hernias. This conversation is essential for anybody looking to understand how fitness can transform life after stoma surgery. So please don't go anywhere. You won't want to miss this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I am so thrilled to introduce today's guest, Sarah Russell. Sarah is an absolute powerhouse in the world of fitness and rehabilitation for ostomates. With over 30 years of experience as a clinical exercise physiologist, Pilates teacher, and fitness professional, she is also somebody who truly understands the journey of living with a stoma because she's lived it herself for the past 14 years. Sarah's completed more than 80 marathons, ultra-distance runs, and mountain stage events, proving that life with a stoma doesn't have to mean being inactive. She is a global exercise specialist for Combatec, the founder of the Ostomy Studio, and she is also the author of the Bowel Cancer Recovery Toolkit. Her work focuses on empowering ostomates to reclaim their fitness and their confidence through tailored exercise and rehabilitation strategies. Now, today she was sharing her expertise on everything from core exercise and peristomal hernias to staying active after stoma surgery. It's an absolute privilege to have her on the show. Please join me in welcoming Sarah Russell. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And I'm asking myself now, as I read your bio and your intro, where were you when I was in recovery? Because all these things are so key after stoma surgery. Fitness is actually something we take for granted. And only once it's taken away, do we actually focus on it or realign our lives? And then it's more difficult. So I want to start the conversation, first of all, because I think the Bowel Cancer Recovery Toolkit is also something that I thought, wow, where was it when I was in recovery? And you've got the Ostomy Studio, which is for ostomates. So perhaps just take us back to how you actually got to that point.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, it's been a journey for sure. If I go back, you know, so through my career, so before I had a stoma and before I even knew anything about ostomies at all, I was working as an exercise specialist. That was my career, my life. I was a trainer, worked in clinical exercise with cardiac rehab particularly. I'd had my children. I was also an athlete. I was doing triathlons. You know, everything exercise has always been in my life. I've always been very passionate about physical activity and the benefits for everybody. I then had this emergency surgery that came from nowhere where I had a perforated colon due to diverticular disease. You know, 6 days prior to that, I'd done a half Ironman triathlon and I was, you know, thinking I was pretty invincible and then sort of knocked back by this crazy situation where I then had an ostomy. I then had to have five more surgeries during a 2-year period. And it was a really, really difficult time with a lot of complications. At one point, I couldn't eat solid food at all for about 8 months. So the whole thing was just all a bit grim. And I sort of it was like playing snakes and ladders. I'd recover a bit and then be knocked back down again, and then recover a bit and knocked back down again. And after that was all over, I muddled my way through some sort of rehabilitation program, because I knew I needed strong core muscles. I knew I needed to rebuild my health. Didn't quite know how, despite having a master's degree in sport and exercise science and having worked in the industry for over 25 years at that point, I still didn't have the expertise and the knowledge. I looked everywhere for research, and of course there really wasn't any. And so I thought, well, maybe I need to start doing something about this and combining my professional and personal experiences. So yeah, so that's how it all started, really.
Yeah, I mean, that actually, like I said, where was that when I was in recovery? Because this is actually everything people going through recovery and living with a stoma need to know, because fitness is so important. The Bowel Cancer Recovery Toolkit, how did that book come about? Because I know you're coming from a total different angle.
Yeah, so I didn't have bowel cancer, but I had obviously had multiple surgeries and then was living with a permanent ostomy. So I then started doing some work with Convatec, one of the stoma bag manufacturers, and we decided we would do a survey. So we surveyed, this is sort of around about maybe the 2015, 2016 time. We did a survey of people living with stomas in the UK, and we had about 5,000 people in this survey. It was the biggest survey sort of that had been done at the time. And one of the key messages that kept coming through was having a stoma was linked directly to lower levels of physical inactivity. We knew that anyway, on average. However, the group of people that were most significantly affected were those who had their stoma because of a diagnosis of bowel cancer. And we know that people with colorectal cancer have lower levels of physical activity anyway. And when we add a stoma to that mix as well, the levels of physical activity are extremely low. And we're not just talking about being able to go and run marathons and do Ironmans. We're talking about a level of physical activity that's enough for good health. So in terms of preventing other diseases such as diabetes and heart disease and all those other really important reasons for being physically active. So I think it's, if I remember the statistics correctly, it's something like 91% of people living with an ostomy with colorectal cancer are not physically active enough for health. Wow. Now, when we look at what that means, that requirement of physical activity for health is 150 minutes of moderate physical activity a week. Mm-hmm. And so people are not meeting that requirement. Now, that is effectively a 20-minute brisk walk a day. So when people are not at that level because of their diagnosis and their stoma and many other reasons as well, they're increasing their risk of other comorbidities and other diseases. So we're not just talking even about looking good in a bikini or looking good in the gym or being strong or running marathons. It's not even about that. It's a much more basic level of health-related physical activity. So that just concerned me hugely. And that was the prompt for me to write the Bowel Cancer Recovery Toolkit book. So that was published in 2019. It was a work in progress. It took me about 2 years to write it. And at times I was thinking, what have I done? It was just ridiculously difficult. But I wanted to put something out there to try and reach out to this group of people that I felt were being really underserved and weren't being given good enough advice and enough information to get themselves back to just a very decent level of health after that ostomy surgery.
Yeah. You know, I can only talk from my own experience. When I woke up and when I was in recovery after stoma surgery or bowel cancer surgery, I actually mentally I was extremely focused and strong. But I think that's why perhaps my Macmillan cancer nurse didn't get active. That's why everybody thought, oh, she's fine. She's fine. But, you know, recovery isn't just about coming home and everything is hunky-dory. You have your daily tasks to do. And then when your fitness is not there, I actually questioned myself a lot, and I didn't want to seem weak and ask for help. So I just muddled my way along.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is such an important book because you don't really get prepared when you are in hospital to what's waiting out there, unless you are perhaps showing signs of being mentally unstable or not coping with changing your bags or things like that. And but a lot of us, we want to be strong on the outside, but we need your toolkit to help us.
I think, you know, that we can't separate the physical and mental connection of recovery and surgery. If we look at it from a physical perspective, you know, just purely physiological, being in hospital and having surgery is hugely traumatic on the body. But we lose significant amounts of muscle. So as well as the trauma to the abdominal wall where we've actually had the surgery, our whole body has been through this huge physiological trauma. So, you know, for some people maybe who've not been able to eat, who've had significant muscle loss, who've become quite malnourished, they can lose incredible amounts of weight, and so much of that would be muscle, and it'd be very rapid. Something called cachexia, where it's basically just very rapid muscle loss due to sort of an illness or disease. And when we're in hospital, we can lose 10% of our body of muscle in 10 days.
Wow.
And that is the equivalent of aging 10 years. So, you know, when you come out of hospital and you feel like you're shuffling like an old lady because suddenly you've gone in with a reasonable level of fitness and you come out feeling like you've aged a decade, that's why. And we have to rehabilitate back from that state because if we don't, we'll never regain our full function. And I think that physiological aspect of it, people think they just need to come home and rest and maybe do a little bit of walking and rest a bit more. And actually, we need to balance that with a much more focused physical rehabilitation process. Take what we know from cardiac rehab and put that into stoma rehab. But the psychological aspect as well is very interconnected. So when we're feeling really vulnerable and we're scared to move or we're in pain or we're fatigued, a little bit of movement can help us actually rebuild that confidence. So it sort of there's a real sort of ebb and flow between the two aspects. And I think putting in a program of physical activity and exercises in that rehab space can really improve our psychological adaptation to having a stoma as well.
Yeah. So let's break it down. Now, let's take it right from the beginning. If somebody has just come out of hospital, is in recovery, what can they actually do to start their journey of regaining their fitness?
Okay, so I'm going to take us back even a step further, and I'm
Good.
going to go into the prehabilitation stage. So this will be something where someone knows they're having surgery and what can they do to prepare. So there's a lot of focus on prehab in the colorectal cancer space, and some people are referred into prehabilitation exercise programs if they're available. However, wherever you are before surgery, there's always something that you can do to improve the outcomes. And that might be if you've got some time and you're not feeling unwell, you can do some exercise, you can get a little bit fitter, get a little bit stronger, add a little bit of muscle. If we can get a bit of muscle on before the surgery, before we have this catastrophic physiological trauma, and we're coming in at a higher level before the surgery, we've got less to fall. So getting as fit as you can before surgery would be the number one piece of advice that I would give. Now, that's not always that easy, but do as much as you can and get as much muscle on as you can. So that will involve some maybe some strength training, some cardiovascular training, and actually just get fitter, almost like you're training for an event. The second part of that is the core muscles. So there's two things we need to do with the core muscles. One, we need to learn the exercises that we're going to do after the operation, so we know what they feel like when we're not in pain. And the other thing we need to do is actually physically strengthen the abdominal wall. If we can do that, we're going to be in a much better place after the surgery. So prehab is the first place we start. And if I have somebody who comes to me as a client and says, I'm having surgery in 2 months' time, I'm like, this is brilliant, perfect. We can do so much in this time. So that's number one. But when someone's just come out of surgery, it will totally depend on the type of surgery they've had, how extensive the surgery has been, how much involvement of the pelvic floor there's been, whether they've had their rectum removed or not. There's a lot of different there's a lot of different types of stoma surgeries out there. It's not just about the stoma. And a lot will depend on how they're recovering, how they're feeling, whether intensive care, etc. But the standard pathway probably needs to look something like this. You know, and this is in line with the Stoma Nurse Association guidelines and also the recommendations that we're currently writing. So around sort of 48 hours post-surgery, we can start to look at doing some diaphragmatic breathing. So learning to open up the rib cage, breathe into the ribs, and start to bring some awareness to the abdominal area. Because what happens is when we're in pain and we've had surgery, we don't want to be connected to that area at all. So we ignore it. We become scared of it. We don't want to move it. We don't even want to breathe into our abdomen because it might be a problem or it might hurt. So we have to counteract that with a purposeful intention to do some diaphragmatic breathing. So that'll be number one. And then number two would be to start to bring a bit more awareness to those core muscles. So by then, most people are up and out of bed. They're being walked around the ward. They're getting up and out. That's fine. Great. But starting to stand tall, watch your posture, get out of that guarded, scared position that we all fall into when we've had surgery. You have to consciously choose to do those things. So you're kind of fighting what your body actually wants to do a little bit. So by around maybe day four, day five, we're starting to bring things like little pelvic tilts in the bed, maybe some calf raises standing next to the bed, and some knee rolls in the bed, those sorts of things. And then by day five, day six, some people are even back home. By that point, if you can, maybe get onto the floor, onto your hands and knees, do some cat-cow type movements. We need to integrate that breath work that we did right from the beginning and start to bring it into these movements. So things that we can do in the bed, but things that we can do if we can carefully get onto the floor and safely back up again would be really useful. And at this point, I would call them clinical Pilates or physiotherapy rehab, but it's learning how to just bring awareness back to those deep abdominal muscles and a little bit of awareness and connection. On a very, very gentle basis.
I mean, that's really valuable advice. And I'd invite all my listeners to, if surgery is on the cards, to embrace that information. Because like you said, if you've got somebody that has ostomy surgery on the cards and you've got 2 months, you actually think, wow, yes, we can do so much. And I think that's such an important message, because we don't really see it like that, that we can build on that, because we're obviously going to lose during recovery. But then we are in a much better position once we are able to start again.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know, you know, one of the greatest concerns for a lot of people living with a stoma is a peristomal hernia. And so we know that if people are coming in, you know, your likelihood of a peristomal hernia is directly linked to the state you're in when you have surgery. So what is your abdominal wall like? Have you got good muscle tone? Are you strong? Are you fit? You know, I was really lucky when I had my first surgery, because I literally was coming off the back of Ironman training. So I was extremely fit. And I kind of bounced out of that surgery, but subsequent surgeries, as they layered up, I became weaker and more frail. I'd had 5 surgeries, 3 stomas in the same place. It all became much, much more difficult. So each surgery became more difficult to recover from. But the state you're in going into that surgery will directly have an impact on your chances of whether you develop a hernia or not. So if you can get into a better state pre-surgery, and by that I mean abdominal wall tone and strength, and learning how to breathe correctly, so you're managing your intra-abdominal pressure correctly, then you're going to have much better outcomes downstream.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting what you've said with the breathing, because I've recently read a book all about breathing and breath work. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, breathing is something we do from the very start, and it's one of the last things we'll do. And I think most people don't know how to breathe properly.
No, we did a clinical trial a couple of years ago called the HALT trial, which was the Hernia Active Living trial. And we we were looking at people who had existing peristoma hernias and whether we could give them Pilates exercises to do and how that would play out and whether they'd have an impact, so they'd improve their hernia or their perception of the hernia or whatever it was. One of the things that was really interesting when I was working with the patients in the trial, every single person in the trial had a dysfunctional breathing pattern and they weren't able to manage their abdominal pressure correctly. And what we need to learn to do is learn how to exhale deeply and engage our abdominal wall at the same time. And that creates almost like an internal bracing and it helps us to modify and regulate our intra-abdominal pressure. Now, the risk of hernia is directly related to pressure. So the more pressure we're putting through this abdominal wall, when we're coughing, laughing, sneezing, lifting, pushing, pulling, all those things, pressure goes up and down throughout the day as we move around. If our core is stronger, our abdominal wall is stronger, but we can also manage pressure because we've rebuilt those neuromuscular pathways and our breathing techniques are good, we're going to be in much, much better chance of lowering our risk of hernia. So the breath work is something I like to teach people before surgery. It's something people learn in all of my classes. It's something that's in the book. But as you say, it's something that I'd say the majority of people don't do well. When someone's had surgery, and we know this because we've been there, you tend to just breathe into the top part of your body. You don't want to go into that abdomen because it's scary and it hurts and you don't want to put any more pressure down there. So people learn new breathing patterns post-surgery. And so they just breathe into their shoulders or their upper chest. And we want them to breathe really deeply into the ribs and in the abdomen to breathe correctly. So they're engaging the muscles correctly. So that's the first thing I teach everybody now is breath work. And people want to get straight into planking and sit-ups and get the strong again. But you can't do that if you haven't got the breathing connection, because that's your foundation and you need that in order to move it forward. So it's pressure management really is what we need. Mm.
Excellent. What we need to do is we need to have a quick commercial break. So don't go away. We'll be back shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. I'm joined by the incredible Sarah Russell, and we've learned so much already through, yes, not just your personal experience, but everything you're bringing to the table that you've learned through having had stoma surgery and through being, well, in the fitness world for all those years prior to having a stoma surgery. Now, I think this was just so important or so interesting what you said with the breathing, because the first time I was introduced to the power of my breath was when I was pregnant. when I was taught how to actually breathe when you go into labor, when you will find yourself in that position to actually, yes, the breath will help you and aid you. So that was the power of breath that I encountered all those years ago. But I think now, you know, as soon as you, everything is good, and you said people adapt so quickly to a new way of breathing. So I think you can unlearn something just as quickly as you learn something. So I think it's really key that you said, that's the first thing I do. The foundation is the breath before you start planking or.
Yeah. You can't go and weight train or plank or any of those things if you're not breathing correctly. People will say, well, I've been doing it all these years and I haven't had a problem. Well, that was fine, but now you've got a stoma, so things are differently. Now you have to learn how to really manage your intra-abdominal pressure correctly, because you were just getting away with it beforehand. Now you need to learn how to engage that core correctly, how to breathe correctly, and how to manage your pressure correctly. I describe it a little bit like, if your body before was a Ford Fiesta, your body is now a Ferrari, and now you have to treat it with extra special care and really learn to understand how to tune it correctly.
Oh, I'm all for Ferrari. Thank you. Yes. I really love that. I really, really love that. Now, I myself have had a hernia, which was not related to stoma surgery. Now, obviously, I think it took me about 3 months before I actually started doing exercises again, because I was so scared of, you know, this might just happen again, or I was just not confident enough to do it. So this is why I think your ostomy studio is so absolutely perfect, because I know you don't just do it one-on-one, you do it via Zoom. Anybody can reach out to you. So please just take us into what people can expect if they join your studio.
So I set the ostomy studio up in COVID because I suddenly realized that I could take my approach and methodology and teaching and sort of take it out to a wider audience. And the opportunity of people starting to realize they could exercise online became much wider, and it just really sort of took off. So it's kind of been going about 4 years, and I have three streams of services. So I offer one-to-one appointments, and that can be consultation. It can be discussing getting back into running, weight training, all sorts of different things, or it can actually be more like a one-to-one Pilates class or rehab class or strength training, whatever people want to use it for. So that's my one-to-one clinic. The classes, I do some live classes and master classes, and they are group classes where people can join from anywhere in the world. I've had people from Singapore and America and Australia, and they make the time differences work, and they come along and they join in person, and that's been great. And then I also have some pre-recorded video content where they're like step-by-step classes. You can start post-surgery and work your way through. So I remember when I had my surgery, I was working through all these sort of postnatal, you know, DVDs that I'd stick on the TV in the lounge. And I was sort of curiously figuring out, okay, well, this feels good, this doesn't feel good. I was an exercise specialist. I knew how to go through that process. So I've taken everything I've learned from that, my own personal experience. I've also trained as a clinical Pilates teacher since then, put it all together and created this step-by-step range of classes that people can work through. And it's not just about the abdominal wall. We need to be thinking about alignment and posture and the way our shoulders sit, because our core, if you want to call it that, is everything between the ears and the knees. It's not just our tummy. It's your hips, your glutes, it's the way you stand, it's your alignment, it's the way you manage pressure. The whole thing is really, really important. So the classes are based on basically hitting any problems that people typically have after ostomy surgery, those tight shoulders, those stiff hips, those stiff bits in your back, because your posture's changed a little bit. So we cover everything, and I do a bit of everything for every bit of the body. But the abdominal exercises are really progressive and safe and gentle, entirely appropriate for people who've had hernias, pelvic floor issues, pelvic floor surgery, rectum removals. So they're very, very safe and gentle. And I feel very, very confident that they're appropriate for the vast majority of people.
I love what you said about posture, because, I mean, posture, I find I've got one teenage boy at home and his posture is atrocious. And I have all my life been told I've got a terrible posture. So, and I know your posture, because you've just mentioned it as well, if it's not correct, it actually can cause so many other things. I have actually made it my, and I invite anybody listening to do so as well, I've actually looked out for people that are walking in front of me, how their posture is and how their footwork is, because sometimes you see it on their shoes. The shoes are like all funny. The heels are sort of worn off on the one side because their posture is not correct. So I have to work on my posture, and that has to do also with my core.
Yeah, it is. If we think about the core as this concept between ears to knees, and alignment, and think about your rib cage and your pelvis as two cans of soup, and they're like sitting on top of each other, and we want them to be really nicely aligned. Now, we want to get into that position to be almost like a resting position, that we can just get to that alignment of the cans of soup sitting on top of each other, everything's aligned. We shouldn't be forced into that position. But our posture and our alignment comes from our muscle strength and tone and the way our muscles are holding our skeleton in place. So we can't just stand up straight and pull our feet into a different position by thinking about it, because we'll just go back to what we used to do. We have to train the muscles to become better aligned. And, you know, the concept of Pilates, which I used to hate because it's so slow and boring, and I'm a runner and I like to race around everywhere, but it's such an important part. So Pilates is fantastic for bringing awareness to the body, becoming really tuned into the muscles you're using, and thinking about your alignment and posture all the time. And people often talk about Pilates and yoga, and they're completely different things. So my work is all coming from a clinical Pilates bias. I bring in a lot of biomechanics work and a lot of strength training work, but the principal foundations are clinical Pilates. Little tiny bit of yoga, but clinical Pilates focuses on alignment, on the core, and rehabilitation of the pelvic floor. And that's the foundation of everything that I do. And from there, you can springboard off into anything. You know, we talk about this concept all the time of people with stomas can do anything they want. And that's partly true, but only if they've done the foundation work, because you need the core strength to protect you from doing the other hardcore stuff.
Yeah. Now, as myself, having had a hernia, what things do I have to absolutely avoid doing? Because I think, you know, that's where I was struggling a little bit, because even the coughing, you said, could be an issue.
So we have to go back to the thinking about it as pressure. So think about our abdominal cavity as a pressure container. And when we lift or cough or laugh or sneeze or push or pull, anything we do creates more pressure. So that container is going to bulge. Now, what we need to learn to do is our breath work, so that we can manage the pressure in that container, but also have the container sort of surface to be stronger, so that we're dissipating pressure more in a more balanced, equal way. If we think about that container for a moment, and any area of weakness, now that might be the umbilicus, it might be in the groin, it might be where the stoma is. If there's an area of weakness, the pressure is going to go to that point as a path of least resistance. So that's why we get increasing bulging around weak point. And people often will get hernias around port sites, incision sites, keyhole surgery sites, as well as the umbilicus, as well as around the stoma. And actually pelvic floor prolapses, but also hiatus hernias. So anything that's a pressure-related bulge, if you like, is is all down to pressure and an inability of the body to dissipate that pressure in a balanced way. Mm-hmm. So we need to learn to breathe correctly to balance that pressure out. And we also need to strengthen the canister so that the pressure has got a bit more stability, if you like. And then one of the key tips is when we lift something or push or pull, to exhale. So in fitness and in clinical Pilates, we talk about the concept of exhaling on effort. So whenever there's any effort involved in anything, and that can be lifting up a child, think about exhaling. And when we exhale, we get an automatic contraction of the deep core muscles. And that's almost like putting your internal support belt on. Mm-hmm. So just by a long, hard, nice, strong exhale, fully emptying the lungs, engaging that core, and then creating a bracing, mm-hmm. we are creating a bit of stability and a bit of protection for ourselves when we go and lift or push or pull or something.
Oh, that's really valuable advice. I'm definitely going to take that to heart. So for people that want to reach out, I know it's you're on Instagram and Facebook. I think it's the Ostomy Studio. That's where they can reach you.
Very badly. I'm not very good at social media. I'm a bit of a dinosaur, but
I found you.
That is good news. So just the Ostomy Studio website or Instagram or Facebook. Yeah, just Google Sarah Russell and you'll find a lot of the work that I do. On YouTube, there's quite a lot of webinars that we recorded during lockdown for various charities and various associations. So with the Stoma Nurse Associations around the world, a lot of those webinars have been recorded and they're all on YouTube. So if you Google me on YouTube, you'll find a number of webinars in all sorts of different places. So you can see some of my work and some of my my lectures and things that I've done. But yeah, if you want to get some support, reach out. We've also got some funding through the Ileostomy Association. So I had a client who died and she left a significant sum to the Ileostomy Association. And that has been ring-fenced for use for people to have sessions with me. So they can apply to the Ileostomy Association for funding. And they can get two sessions with me or classes or access to my online videos funded by them, which has been fantastic because, you know, one of my key values is that, yes, I'm running this as a private service, but I also want to make it as accessible to everybody as possible. So the price range reflects that and this funding also reflects that, which has been really, really good. So.
Yeah, excellent. Wow, excellent. I didn't know. And what a wonderful way of giving back, like you said. It is so vital. Now, in closing, we're almost at the end of the show, unfortunately, but in closing, what would be for you now from your personal experience be your top advice for people that are going into surgery or that have just come out of surgery? What would be your key advice? I think I know the answer, but perhaps you can put it in a nutshell.
Well, with my exercise bias, let's call it that, I am deeply passionate about exercise and movement as a concept for health. This is not about your weight or how you look. This is about your health. And we have to reframe physical activity and exercise about being for health and about aging well. So, you know, the foundations we lay down in our 30s and 40s and 50s will pay dividends when we get to our 70s and 80s and we still want to be able to get up the stairs or get out of the bath or climb a mountain or just not have knee pain or not have diabetes or heart disease. And that is very much my philosophy. When someone has a stoma, you know, we know from the research that their physical activity level goes down. And when I put those two things together, that just makes me really sad. So I want people to reframe exercise and physical activity as something for their health and to just think about their body as a Ferrari when they've had their stoma surgery, to treat it with absolute care and respect, tune it up to the highest level they can get it, and to live well and healthily with their stoma rather than just kind of muddling through and getting by and maybe lowering the bar. So yeah, I guess, okay, here's my piece of advice. Lift the bar and don't put limitations on yourself. Just go out there and live and be healthy and do the best you can.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Sarah, for taking the time and giving us such valuable advice. And thank you for all you do for the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
All the best.